Hi, I'm Lori Bransky, and you're listening to the Draft Prospect Review, an official podcast of the New England Patriots. It's finally April here at Gillette Stadium on Tuesday, the 3rd. Just a few weeks away from the actual draft, we have Brian Lowe, Paul Perillo, Tom Caselli, and Annie Hart talking about the offensive line.
Thanks, Lori. Back for another Draft Prospect Review. We are finally in the month of April, which, of course, is the month that the NFL Draft takes place in just about 4 weeks from now, a little less than that. And on today's show, we're going to talk about the offensive line. It's a position from the Patriots' perspective where they have quite a few players locked up for the long term, but always looking for some more players to bolster what they have and contribute as they have had guys in recent years. So I guess to start out, we'll talk about some of the top guys on the offensive line, including Joe Thomas, a guy who will be picked probably in the top five. But who are the standout guys, I guess Tom, Andy, Paul, that you've seen between the combine, between following some of the highlights that you've seen in the highlight reels, the first round offensive lineman that will really stand out and make a difference?
Well, Thomas is the obvious top guy. People say he's a lock top five pick, coming off the knee injury, but everybody believes total package, franchise left tackle type, obviously way outside of the Patriots' range. Then you have Levi Brown, a guy who seems like he's been on the rise of late. Some mocks have him going as high as is the top 10 picks in the draft. And then Joe Staley, who has become a little bit of a superstar draft prospect of late out of Central Michigan. The level of play is the big question with him, but beyond that, seems to have all the tools, and some people believe he could be the best of the crop, could be a franchise left tackle. I know Mel Kiper thinks Staley is a very interesting prospect to keep an eye on, because some people have him actually going to the Patriots in mock drafts at 28. But I think there's a chance, you got 4 weeks to go here. He's one of those guys that's on the rise. Who knows? Maybe he ends up in the middle of the first round.
Yeah, and I agree with Andy about those three. The only thing that bothers me with Thomas is the short arms. I mean, you see those guys like
built
the
like
Brick.
Tom.
Yeah, like the Brick and Tony Baselli. When you watch them, those guys dominate, you see their long arms taking those defensive ends and pushing them away. So that's just the one negative. And I also agree with Andy about Levi Brown. He has the potential to possibly be the best one taken in this draft, but I think Thomas is the safer pick of the two.
Brown, I actually just finished watching his tape, and I think he has all the physical.
This is Brown.
Levi Brown out of Penn State. The thing that you need to know about him is, what does he have mentally? Is he going to work out? I think he needs to get stronger. I don't think he's a real mauler in the running game. I think that's one area he needs to improve. And the other question is, how much is he dedicated to improvement? Because I think if he's, and he's been moving up the board, so my assumption is he's been impressing people in the interview process with what he brings to the table and how he answers. So, I think physically, all the tools to be a superstar.
One of the things I found really interesting when you start talking about Brown is at the time when, the All-Star season sort of ended, he was one of those guys heading into the combine, fringe first round guy, late first round, maybe as the second tackle to join Joe Thomas. Now all of a sudden, he's like knock on the door of the top 10.
Right. Yeah.
And I recently completed a writer's mock draft that will appear in the issue that will come out actually today. He was a top 10 pick, which really surprised, kind of threw off the rest of the draft. I think that's a little high for him, but I just think that the fluctuation of 20, 25 picks for this guy, I think has been another one of those kind of phenomenons that happens every year with certain guys. They rise, they fall without doing a thing. It's one of those draft phenomenons that I find fascinating every year.
That's where I think Joe Staley is right now. He's just catching that wave, and who knows where that wave leaves him by the time the draft comes.
Well, when the Senior Bowl started, Brown and Tony Uga of
Arkansas,
battling to be that next guy in line, and Uga had a terrible Senior Bowl week, so he kind of fell off the map. He's now second, third round projection, and Levi Brown took that elevation that you talked about, Paul. Now he's really barreling in there with a whole bunch of steam, and you never know where he could go now.
Well, these guys are tackles mostly that we've talked about, and as far as interior guys, and we're seeing in free agency, especially this year, the amount of money that's going to more and more to interior guards.
Crazy money.
Is staggering. And how does that affect the draft? I mean, does it mean that the emphasis on grooming interior linemen from the draft is more important? I can't imagine the importance of every position is always there, but who are some of the interior linemen that could sneak up high in the draft this year?
Well, Grubbs out of Auburn is considered the top guard prospect. We were actually just talking
that's
we started.
The consensus.
I was very impressed with him and his teammate, who I'm drawing a blank, Tim Duckworth, Watching the video, I thought they were both very impressive, and I kind of said their offensive line coach needs a raise. Another guy with Patriots connections, if you believe any of the millions of mock drafts out there, is Justin Blaylock out of Texas. Guy with some versatility, probably could play some guard, some tackle, might be a guy they could consider late in the first round there. Seems to be a 25 to 40 type prospect right
now. Yeah, Aaron Sears.
Well, I was going to ask about you the same thing Andy just mentioned. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, well, it was actually Albert Breer of the Boston Herald was the first to tell me about Sears because he played all positions on the line at Tennessee.
Right.
And the thing that he said to watch for, and you could see it on film, is the quicker pass rushers like Jarvis Moss had trouble. He did very well against those kind of guys. And if you look at the Patriots, where they have trouble, quicker pass rushers. Mm-hmm. And Sears is a guy you can plug him in at either guard spot, either tackle spot. So if they're looking for an offensive lineman and they do a trade down to that second round area, that could be a guy they look at.
That's another guy also on the rise that was, you know, mm-hmm. we didn't really hear a whole lot about Aaron Sears, and all of a sudden, you know, as the time has gone from the combine through the pro workouts here in the spring season, he seems to be shooting up a little bit. Now he's kind of knocking on the door of the first round.
Well, let's talk a little more specifically about the Patriots in this draft in regards to the offensive line. They've taken four offensive linemen over the last 2 years, three of whom have made the team and are at least contributors, if not starters, Logan Mankins, Nick Kazier, and Ryan O'Callaghan. But as I said at the beginning, the Patriots have their starters and a few backups signed well into this year and beyond. But they're always looking for that next guy to groom. It's not like all of their offensive linemen are guys that you can completely rely on. What position on the line do you think they'd most be interested in upgrading through the draft, and who are some guys that you think are specific guys that they might look towards in the middle rounds?
Tackle. Right, no question.
Right,
I think they're
right
all
tackle
set up
especially
in the middle. I think guards and center, you have very high quality
Mankins,
there.
Mankins, Neil Copen, and they're signed
tackle,
long-term.
I think, despite Matt Leit's Pro Bowl, I wouldn't be shocked to ever see him end up as a right tackle. Either way, he's not a dominant player.
And what's interesting about that, if you get one of these guys below that's, you know, the way that Andy and Tom are talking about, you get one of these guys, he turns out to be the real deal. That's your left tackle of the future. Matt Leit goes to right tackle,
right.
I think. And I don't mean that as being disrespectful. Some of the listeners might say, well, geez, these guys are trashing Matt Leit. We're not. But I think Tom put it perfectly in saying the one thing that consistently has given the Patriots trouble at times has been the speed aspect.
And there's some guys that they face twice a year.
Let Matt Leit deal with more of the physical mauling type on the right side that you get. And then get another guy that maybe is more better equipped to handle that speed on the left.
Especially if you can get a guy at 28. I mean, people talking about Staley, potential to be a franchise left tackle. No one will ever
say
that Matt Leit
guy
is a franchise left tackle.
Very athletic guy, and watching Staley's tape. And you know, we talk a lot about the Mid-American Conference as being, you know, this kind of quarterback cradle all of a sudden. Well, obviously they do a lot of throwing in that conference, so maybe the transition for a tackle coming out of that league isn't as great as maybe, you know, a Big Ten guy where there's a lot of physical run play.
And what's interesting about the right tackle spot is these guys they've taken in each of the last two drafts, Ryan O'Callaghan last year, Nick Kazier the year before, both have shown flashes that they can be possible starting offensive linemen. They both started in their rookie years. But, you know, Kazier taken in the third round, O'Callaghan in the fifth round. You know, you get what you get in those rounds. You're okay with a contributor. Maybe now it's time to look
and both have had injuries.
Let's be honest. Since I came here 2 years ago, Tom Brady's been getting killed.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, and there's
so
surely connections
the
to your
line all you want. Tom Brady's getting murdered back there.
Offensive
and sooner
line
or later, you have to address that.
Right.
Because Tom Brady goes down for the count, season's over. Doesn't matter who else you
That's
have.
A great point, too, because I think if you just look at the strict numbers and you see that Tom Brady doesn't get sacked, it's remarkably consistent. He gets sacked 25, 26, 27 times a year. That's it. Every year, but he has no question gotten hit
a lot more.
A, more frequently, and B, more violently in the last 2 years, in my opinion. I think Tom's absolutely right, in my opinion, than he ever did before. And I think, as Andy pointed out, that position has been as inconsistent as any on the Patriots.
I mean, there's times where they look
the
pretty good. They you know, have a big
Very
rushing
good.
Performance. There's other times where their pass protection looks tremendous.
I have never seen Matt Leit play better than he did against San Diego in the playoffs.
Right.
But when have we seen them put a month together where they ran the ball, where they protected Britain? We haven't.
Right. And sack numbers alone can only tell part of the story. You know, rushing yards alone can only tell part of the story. We talked about Joe Staley. Can we throw out a few names, specific names, of guys that you think are Patriot targets?
Well, two that I'd throw out there for some connection reasons. Marshall Yanda from Iowa.
Love the pipeline.
For a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. Versatile, played both left and right tackle and some guard. Obviously comes from Kirk Ferentz, who worked on the offensive line with some Bill in Cleveland. And his agent is Neil Cornrich, which is always a good connection to have to Bill Belichick. And another guy, Ryan Harris, out of Notre Dame. A little bit lower of a level prospect, would need to develop, but has a pretty impressive frame to build on. Great, you know, was on Charlie Weiss's leadership council at Notre Dame, wants to be governor of Minnesota someday. Very intelligent, very, you know, I think he'd be an interesting guy to get in Dante's development program.
Did you have something else to add?
No, I was just going to say, and you know, Staley and Sears, if they're going to go higher, I think best fit this system. And, you know, the guys Andy said, I'm with them on Harris from Notre Dame. That's an intriguing prospect, maybe in that third round area.
All right. Let's just take a look at sort of our irregular series on looking back at some recent Patriots drafts. I'm not going to say it's been consistent every week. But
well, we skipped it last week because we lacked the B-low professionalism.
Because if I'm not here, you know, I can't imagine. I didn't even dare listen to the podcast because I can't imagine how disjointed it must have been.
Well, it's funny that you say that. It was the highest rated podcast that we've had since we started this.
I'll have to go over those numbers with
people
you.
Raved about it being concise and to the point.
Well, this has been a solid 10 minutes. Anyways, the 2003 draft, which was a stellar draft, especially at the beginning. You had Ty Warren in the first round. He's become on the brink potentially of a Pro Bowl type career. Eugene Wilson, who had an amazing rookie year and then has sort of, because of injuries and ineffectiveness, sort of tailed off each time. Bethel Johnson, we know what happened with him. Those were the three first-day picks. But then the second day, Dan Klecko, Asante Samuel, Dan Copen, Cliff Kingsbury, Spencer Neid, Tully Bantakane, Ethan Kelly. Spencer Neid never made it. Ethan Kelly was around on the practice squad for a little while. Cliff Kingsbury was around for a year. But the guys that they hit on in the second day, pretty impressive, especially Copen and Samuel. These are guys
I think they gave up too quickly on Spencer Neid. I liked him coming out of college.
Well, yeah, you didn't watch his minicamp action. Yeah. I thought he was blind in one eye when they threw to him.
Andy legitimately thought he had a vision problem.
Well, the Cliff Kingsbury era just came. He's kind of made the rounds of the AFC East, I think. I'm not sure if he's with the
Buffalo
team right now. I think Buffalo. I think he was definitely with the Jets briefly.
Yeah.
So he's sort of made the rounds.
Is Gesner still with him?
But you make
Dan Klecko, three Super Bowls in 4 years of his career. I mean, that's Hall of Fame.
But if you make picks
point.
Like Samuel and Copen consistently in the second day, you're doing pretty well.
A franchise cornerback, and I guess if you can call him a franchise center.
Yeah,
if there's such a thing as a franchise center,
then you throw in Ty Warren in the first round.
Yeah, let's just toss him
on you first. By the way,
a heck of a draft.
That was and hey, I mean Eugene Wilson, you know.
Starting safety.
I mean, what his long-term prognosis is going to be in terms of what he's going to be able to do for this team is unknown. But he was a major contributor to a Super Bowl championship team in his rookie year.
And then you get Banta. I mean, that's
Bantakane.
That's about as good of a draft as you can have. You hit on your top guys. You got two starters in the middle. Then you got a late round guy who came in and contributed. You can't get any better than
and
that.
And some of the guys, you know, Bethel Johnson. Okay, he's gone. He never was what he should have been. But, oh, by the way, he helped you get to and win a Super Bowl.
He did.
You saw why they chose him.
Right. He
had ability. He wasn't just lightning fast. He had some ability to go with it. For whatever reason, it didn't work out.
But, I mean, even your misses that year weren't total misses.
And Klecko prevented him from winning a Super Bowl by catching that pass in Indianapolis.
I mean, you had ten picks. Four of them were in the sixth or seventh round. And of those 10, only one didn't make the team coming out of training camp. Yeah, you know, that's pretty good. And seven of the 10 were contributors right off the bat.
Part of that is circumstantial, though, of what you had at the time. The 2002 team was very old and on the decline, so there were a lot of opportunities to make the team.
That going into that 2003 season was when they were over. You know, I mean, we read about that in books and all that. So that was
in books.
I don't read books.
You know,
I was just going to say,
it's
also
about that
interesting.
In school.
We look at these drafts later. How your perspective can change year to year, and they always say it's a 3-year window, whatever.
Well, that's
because Eugene Wilson was probably one of the studs of that draft early on,
right?
And now all of a sudden you're questioning him, and maybe Asante Samuel is one of the best cornerbacks in the league. Where back then you would have said, he's a nickel corner, maybe he could start for you someday. So a lot has changed
absolutely.
In a short
just
period
go
of time.
For the first two picks, Ty Warren and Eugene Wilson, first two picks of that draft. If after the first year you assess that, you would say, big time.
What?
Big time bang for your buck with Eugene Wilson, and you know
we needed to see
a little bit more information on Ty Warren.
Bill Belichick likes to point that everybody hated Ty Warren as a rookie and all that.
Oh no,
I think Ty Warren showed that he could be a pretty good player
as a rookie
and develop.
Yeah, that's ridiculously
overblown. He was a defensive lineman. That's
the
difference.
No one thought that was a terrible pick after his rookie year.
I thought he was a pretty good player.
Well, that'll wrap up this edition of the Patriots Draft Prospect Review. As we said, we're now in the month of April, so we are really getting closer and closer to the draft, and we'll be back next week looking at another position. So for Andy Hart, Tom Casale, and Paul Perillo, I'm Brian Lowe. Let's go back to Laura.
Thanks, guys. Remember to join us every Tuesday for a new Draft Prospect Review podcast. Keep checking Patriots.com for all the latest updates. Thanks for listening, and go Pats!